You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Carmen Turner Schott. Carmen Turner Schott is a practicing clinical social worker, intuitive astrologer, and teacher with national and international clientele. She received her undergraduate degree in psychology from Font Bonne University in St. Louis, Missouri, in 1997. She completed her Master of Social Work degree at Washington University in St. Louis in 1999. She is a published author and wrote her first book in 2006 titled A Deeper Look at the Sun Signs, and is currently writing her second book, The Mysteries of the Eighth House, Phoenix Rising. Carmen has been researching the 8th and 12th astrological houses for the past 15 years. She has presented astrology workshops for the ARE in the St. Louis, Missouri region and teaches a variety of spiritual development classes. She is an astrology columnist for Spirit Seeker magazine and publishes articles online. She has worked for the Air Force in a variety of different programs as a family advocacy outreach manager, alcohol and drug abuse prevention therapist, and as a sexual assault response coordinator and victim advocate. An avid Edgar Cayce researcher, she enjoys reading, studying, and teaching a wide range of spiritual topics. You can find out more at her website, astrologyawareness.com. That's astrology-awareness.com. She is presenting the e-group, Explore the Mysteries of Your 8th and 12th Astrological Houses, from August 3rd to August 30th. You can find out more about that e-group by going to edgarcayce.org, going to the Education tab, and clicking on e-groups. Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
What is the importance of astrology?
Astrology is what I call a map of the soul. And by knowing astrology, you can understand your personality better and those of the people in your life, like your friends, family, children. And as a social worker, I've always used astrology to help understand my clients better when I'm doing counseling with people, and also to understand myself better and different personality traits I have, different gifts and abilities and emotions. And I've seen through my research with using astrology as a tool, you can really help people in a deeper way than traditional counseling.
I saw that you have a master's in social work and a bachelor's in psychology.
Yes, I do. And that's kind of how I got interested in astrology, really, was based on my own experiences. When I was about 16 years old, there was a lot of things that happened to me that I couldn't explain. Different, ESP, I would dream things that would happen. I would, have these different experiences with having, connections with people and knowing things that were going on with them, knowing that someone was in pain or that they were struggling. I just kind of had these, feelings. And I wanted to learn more about it because no one could explain why I had the experiences I had. And so the first book I bought was called Astrology, and it was by Isabel Hickey, Astrology Basics. And when I started reading the basics of my sun sign, which is Virgo, I realized, wow, this is really accurate, and I want to know what makes this work. So I spent my life since I was 16 studying astrology, and I taught it to myself. And eventually, at the age of 19, I started doing consultations for others in the St. Louis area. And I just, built on that and brought that into my work with teenagers and children and families when I did become a licensed social worker. And I've continued to do that for the past 17 years. I've been using astrology to help others understand themselves. One of the reasons that I really got interested in the 8th and 12th houses was because of Edgar Cayce. I started, researching his life and his teachings probably around the age of 19 is when I first heard Edgar Cayce. And when I read about his life and his experiences, his spiritual experiences, I thought that sounds very similar to what I've had happen to me as far as, sensing the spirit of my grandmother, dreaming about her before she died, things like that. And I know hearing his life story and some of his mystical experience, I thought, I want to look at his astrological chart. And when I did that, he shared a common issue that a lot of clients I have share with me. And he had eighth house planets. And he also had a lot of Pisces energy. And I find that a lot of my clients that have experiences with loved ones that have passed on, dreams that happen the next day, ESP, clairvoyance, those type of abilities, when they have those abilities, usually they have planets in the 8th or 12th house. And that's when I really started researching the 8th house and Edgar Cayce and started collecting research through the years that I compiled into a book that I just wrote about the 8th house. And it's all based on real life client experiences that are very mystical and spiritual. And that's why I decided to create this course, to really, help people understand those houses, because they're the most mysterious and mystical houses in the whole chart. And a lot of people, email me, all over the world, and they'll say, Carmen, I have planets in my eighth house. Am I going to die at a young age? Does that mean I have a bad life? And I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's actually a blessing to have planets in those houses. But a lot of the ancient astrology texts really scare people, when they look up different placements that they have, because it is very a very mysterious, secretive house, and a lot of people don't understand the 8th house or 12th house at all. And I wanted to make it really practical and understandable in people's lives and to help them see it as a gift to use their abilities to help others. And that's why I developed the course that I'm teaching on the e-groups.
Did Mr. Cayce himself speak about astrology?
Yes, he did. One of my favorite quotes from him is, astrology is fact, but there's no power greater than man than his own will. And that is something that I have seen throughout my astrology counseling with people, is that, our chart is our destiny in many ways, and it shows the energy and the inclinations, tendencies, and urges, as Edgar Cayce said, that exist in our soul. He said astrology does affect that, and it does show our personality and our gifts, but we always have a choice. Once we understand our natal chart and our life and different reasons that we're here, our karma, our mission, our life purpose can be seen in the chart, but we have a choice. We can either, fight against our energies in our chart, or we can, go with it, or we can try to change things that might not be so positive. We can learn ways to maybe avoid heartache and different things by knowing our chart. And I really love Edgar Cayce's teachings about astrology, because I do see it gives people, not a sense of being trapped and bound by this chart and you can't do anything about it in your life. Not at all. He says that knowing your chart can help you make better decisions. And that's what I tell people. You always have free will and choice. Even though I may see certain things in someone's life or personality, many times they say, yes, that validates, that's me, or yes, I've been through that. But they always have a choice on how they, cope with those things, how they adapt, and how they become the person they are today is all up to them, really. And that's what Edgar Cayce taught, and I always enjoyed, telling my clients different quotes that he said about astrology.
What is a natal chart?
Yes, a natal chart is basically what we call a birth chart. And that is the calculation of the planets in the sign and in the area of the sky when you're born. When any person is born is when we cast what's called a birth chart. And that chart is basically calculated by the date and year and the exact time and place of an individual's birth. And knowing those three things is how we come up with the map of the soul, which is the natal chart, the personality chart, the birth chart is what we call it. And that chart never changes. That's the chart of a person's soul and their karma and their personality. And that is really the map of your soul that lifetime, and that's what a natal chart embodies. And that's why the time of birth is so important, because, you know, say, you know, for instance, my husband and I are both born on the same day, August 26th, but he was born in Iowa, I was born in Missouri. We're born different times. So without the time, you know, you would think that a person would be very similar, you know, to everyone born that day and year. But it really isn't, because we have the houses to look at, which are different areas of life. The planets can be in a different sign and house depending on the time of birth. The moon sign can change based on the time of birth. So I always tell people the time is so important, with really understanding things in a deeper way with one's chart.
We'll be right back with more with Carmen Turner Schott on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Carmen Turner Schott.
Some people don't know when they're born. You know, we can still do a natal chart and basic personality descriptions and know the basics of someone's personality without time, but the time really makes it more accurate and detailed as far as what we can see about where the energy is going to manifest in that person's life.
Could you explain why Edgar Cayce was an eighth house person?
Yes. Through the years, the eighth house is known as the house of death, transformation, healing, and mystical experiences. The eighth house is ruled by Scorpio, which is a water sign. And so all of the energy and traits of Scorpio, you know, rule that house. A lot of times when people have planets there, especially the sun or the moon, which are the two most, you know, important planets in our chart, because it shows our personality, our main identity is the sun, and the moon is our emotional nature and, you know, how we react to things and how we feel things inside. And Edgar Cayce had the sun and the sun and Mercury both in the eighth house. And everyone that I've ever met that has the sun in the eighth house, and any chart, I've done thousands of charts from people all over the world, and anyone that has the sun in the eighth house has similar spiritual experiences that they cannot explain. And that is what Edgar Cayce had, you know, as we know some of the stories, you know, that he saw his deceased grandfather, the ghost of him. He would, you know, fall asleep on his books and be able to remember things. He would, you know, very sensitive, very intuitive type of person. And that is, and usually interested in spirituality. And usually at some time in someone's life, no matter how practical they are, no matter if they've never been exposed to astrology or anything metaphysical, anyone with the sun in the eighth house that I have ever counseled has had at least more than one experience that they cannot explain practically. Either a dream, they dream something and the exact thing happens, or they have an intuition, you know, that someone's going to call them, someone's hurt, then they find out that person is hurt, you know, like ESP type of experiences. And that is why Edgar Cayce is what I call an eighth house person, which he shares similar gifts and abilities. He had a spiritual gift of healing and helping others. And a lot of eighth house energy has to also do with hypnosis, altered states of consciousness, which we know as Edgar Cayce, you know, would go to sleep and be asked questions. He would be able to answer really deep, you know, accurate information about people's health and their life. And that is because of that eighth house sun placement that he had. It made him very, very spiritual with the gift of helping others. And almost everyone I meet that has eighth house planets wants to help others. They're very drawn to healing, you know, Reiki, pranic healing, massage therapy, psychology, you know, counseling, you know, all kinds of different really deep types of subject matter and career fields. And he definitely, you know, had those experiences, and the work he did has helped millions of people. And still today, the Edgar Cayce Foundation is really all about him being an eighth house person with a spiritual gift. And how I found out that a lot of eighth house people are a lot like Edgar Cayce, with some of the experiences that he had and the abilities he was born with, is what I did was I started collecting research, and I wrote a book called The Mysteries of the Eighth Astrological House. And I wrote that book, the number one reason is because of all the emails I received from people from all over the world. I wrote an article called The Mysteries of the Eighth House, House of Death and Transformation, and I published that article online in 2005, and I had just email after email through all the years, and finally in 2010, after, 10 years of emails, I wrote a book about it for my clients because they would reach out and say, that article is exactly what happened to me, that's my life. And, and I would help them, and I decided that I want to write a book about the eighth house because there's so many people out there that don't understand it or that really can benefit from understanding. They're not alone. Many people with eighth house planets have those types of experiences. And that's why I wrote the book, and that's why I teach the group to teach them, look at Edgar Cayce's life and the kind of life he had and the abilities that he had, and that's similar to what a lot of 8th house people have as well. But a lot of them are afraid of it or don't understand it, or they weren't raised to believe in these metaphysical, New Age, truths, so they fight against it, for most of their life until they get older, and then they realize, wow, I think I can help people, and I have something special about my personality. And that's why the eighth house is so important to understand. And to know if you have planets there is very important because it's very, very the most spiritual house in our chart, the two most, are the eighth and 12th houses. Those are the spiritual houses.
What happens when planets are in the 12th house?
Yes, when planets are in the 12th house, it's a similar energy as the 8th. It makes someone very sensitive to other people's energy, just like the 8th house. It makes people very, very intuitive, very perceptive, very open to what's going on in the environment and with other people. It's all about energy. People with 12th house planets can feel people's pain. And that is something that a lot of Pisces, it's the house of Pisces. Pisces rules the 12th house. And so Pisces energy is all about compassion. They're very compassionate people. They're spiritual. It's the spiritual sign of the zodiac. And so spirituality, cosmic consciousness, feeling one with everything, seeking God, seeking a relationship with a higher power, helping those that suffer, helping those that are in pain. That is the 12th house. So a lot of healers, a lot of people, they're drawn to counseling, social work, healing fields, spiritual fields, religion, philosophy. A lot of people with planets in the 12th house are drawn to those fields because I always say people with 12th house planets, it's like there's a sign on their back that says, if you have problems, come to me. And a lot of 12th house people, they don't know that when they're young. And so they grow up sometimes getting involved in relationships with people that aren't healthy for them. A lot of people that have problems, that are, had a hard life, that maybe aren't the most healthy or stable people, are drawn to 12th house people like a magnet. Because those people sense and feel that 12th house people will embrace them and understand them because they like to help people that have problems. They're the servant. They like to help others. And a lot of times they can take on other people's pain and karma, and it's important for people with 12th house planets not to take on everybody else's stuff. They have to learn to have boundaries and that they can serve others and help people, but they don't have to take on everybody else's, emotions. And so it's really important for them to develop a strong sense of boundaries, which they lack. They really lack a sense of boundaries. So they can get drained by being around people too long. And a lot of 12th house people are known as hermits. They like to escape from the world. They like to be by themselves. They like to meditate. They like to have peace and harmony. And they can do that, but then they go back out into the world again and serve and help people. And then they need time to recoup and recover. And they can be very reclusive. and, you know, they like being alone and really need their alone time. And it's hard for family members and friends of 12th house people to understand that at times. And once, you know, I teach people about the 12th house, they're like, that is me. And I wish you could tell my husband this is, you know, that I can't help this. This is how I am. And so a lot of times I help couples understand, you know, their partner, if they have a 12th house partner, that, you know, it's not that they don't want to be with you, but they have to have alone time to stay healthy and to keep their health okay, because they have to have that time to recover their energy field, because they're so open to everything going on around them.
Understanding these houses can help people in their relationships.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And what I really see is that a lot of 8th and 12th house people can be drawn to unhealthy, unstable relationship partners. And once I help them understand what they're really drawn to in someone and why, they say, yes, you know, everyone I've ever been with is needed help. You know, they're the rescuer, you know, they're drawn to people that need help. And once they kind of stop doing that, you know, they can still help people, but it doesn't mean they have to be, you know, have a relationship with that person. They can be friends, they can help people, but they tend to get involved in a lot of painful relationships. And that's part of the karma and really part of the learning for 12th and 8th house people. They have to go through some type of loss and pain in intimate relationships. They're meant to go through that so they can see what a healthy, loving relationship really is. And that's the mission. You know, I tell them, you know, what you've been through is it's made you stronger and it's made you who you are today, and you've learned from that. And this is the type of relationship that you need, and now you know that. And so then they learn, okay, I need to step back, you know, if I really want to help someone, I need to say, you know, there's a difference between loving someone and feeling someone's pain. And sometimes they get that confused, love and feeling someone's pain. And so I've helped a lot of clients in their marriages and in their relationships understand themselves better and be able to use that free will, as Edgar Casey talked about, to change the relationship or change how they react to their relationship partners and being more healthy and well-rounded in all areas of life. And that's what I use it for, a very practical tool of self-awareness is what I use astrology for, and understanding those houses.
Well, does it matter which planet is in either of those houses?
Yes, it does.
We'll be right back with more with Carmen Turner Schott on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. Let's continue our conversation with Carmen Turner Schott.
In my experience, the most important planets to look at in the 12th and 8th house are the Sun, Moon, Pluto, and Mars. Those four planets have a really strong, powerful energy in our personality and in our life and in our natal chart. Those four is the four that I really look at first. And then all the other planets also have their role. They're still important, but, you know, they're not as important as that Sun, Moon, Mars, or Pluto placement in those houses. Those four planets are what really makes someone an 8th and 12th house person, having one of those planets or even all four in one of those houses. And oftentimes people have more than one planet in the 8th house, and it can be called, I call that a stellium. When there's three or more planets in one house, that's called a stellium. And that makes that house so important. And most people I meet that contact me about the class and the research I've done have more than one planet in the 8th and 12th house. They almost always do. And that's, you know, one of the experiences that they have.
And I guess you cover all this in your book, The Mysteries of the 8th Astrological House?
Yes, yes. In that book, I, you know, with clients' permission, I, you know, basically, you know, kept emails from people that wrote me about the 8th house article that I wrote, and I just built upon that. I share stories about 8th house experiences, which are the four kind of key things I look at in the book, is sharing, you know, personal psychic experiences that a lot of eighth house people have had that are unexplained. And I actually share those stories from clients in the book. Another thing that I share is about, you know, death and rebirth, because the eighth house is all about rebirth and regeneration. It's like the phoenix being born out of the ashes. And that's, you know, what eighth house people go through in their life. It's like, you know, they struggle, they go through a lot of things, and they're transformed into a very spiritual type of person based on what they've gone through in their life. And I share that about, you know, letting the past go, learning to forgive themselves and others, learning not to feel like a victim, but that they, you know, basically, you know, they're stronger for what they've been through, and helping them learn, you know, to let things go, to move on, and to attract healthy partners. And really just reading about other people's eighth house experiences with death, with sexuality, which is an eighth house issue as well. You know, all the issues of Scorpio, you know, are in that eighth house. Forgiving people, letting the past go, not repressing things. The eighth house, a lot of eighth house people repress their emotions. They repress their abilities. And oftentimes, you know, they hold on to things so much they can get physically sick. So I, you know, in the book I talk about, you know, finding a release for that intense, powerful energy that planets in the eighth house bring, you know, either through exercise, through, you know, kickboxing, through running, through writing, through, you know, meditation or journaling, whatever they can do to get those emotions out of their head and their body will help them, you know, heal and have better health. Because it is such a powerful house, and it really, people are afraid to express it because they just don't think people will understand them. And a lot of people, you know, have a lot of strange experiences that they would never share with anyone else. And they've shared them with me and in the group and in the class that we do. And the book is really just to validate that they're not alone. And so for any eighth house person that ever emails me, I always recommend the book. And, you know, this book will help you more than a counseling session with me can even help you, because when you read that other people have gone through similar things, it really validates, okay, I'm not crazy. This is my chart. This is why I had this thing happen to me. And it really makes people feel better about themselves and that they're not a victim, that it's meant to be, that they came to learn certain things this lifetime. And that's what the book really does. It helps encourage people that have eighth house planets. And I go through the basics, too. For those that don't have eighth house planets, it's a great, just a great educational tool for astrologers or students just to read about, you know, what you see if someone has every planet in the eighth house. I go through that in detail and analyze it and give real life examples. So, even, you know, the layperson can read the book and understand more about, you know, astrology and that, and those two house, that house. So, it's really a book that anyone can use.
And you mentioned earlier you have an e-group coming up in August. What will that experience be like for students?
Yes. In the e-group, we're going to cover a lot of information on the 8th and 12th houses. Both these houses we're going to cover in depth. I've created, you know, audio recordings about the material. I have flash videos and PowerPoint slides where I talk and explain not only the 8th and 12th houses, but basics of astrology. You know, what is astrology, the history of astrology, the planets in the houses, the planets in the sign, and I break down all of that. And then we really, you know, we really get into the 12th house first, understanding all the planet placements of the 12th house, how that affects, you know, how that energy is manifested in the life, and we share examples. And really, it's also a time for anyone in the group to really share their personal experiences with the group. And I always, you know, respond to every single post and really try to get discussion going. And other students can help, have really helped their co-students, you know, come to terms with things. And it's a time of discussion and understanding, you know, the importance of the 12th house. And then once we cover the 12th house, we move on to the 8th house. And that's when we, you know, we take a look at all of the different issues that the eighth house rules, the planets there, what energies that they represent, share, you know, we share stories. We do some assignments, some homework assignments about, you know, if you've ever lost a loved one, you know, we do a death and healing assignment. And, you know, what the, you know, talk about, you know, how that impacted our life, losing a loved one. And we talk about, you know, sexuality. We talk about spiritual experiences. And then we also look at Edgar Cayce's natal chart, and we discuss it as a group. And, you know, we all, you know, take a look at it, and I have some audio on it, and we discuss, you know, how Edgar Cayce was an eighth house person and how we can relate to him and his work and his life and what we've learned from him. So we kind of end with his chart and then just a lot of, you know, a lot of videos, a lot of online discussion, a lot of, you know, journaling and just kind of doing some assignments on their own. And then they come back and share on the e-group board with the class. And it's a great format, and I've been really lucky. I've had a lot of my clients and just people that have found me through my article and book. I always send them right to the e-group link and say, please join us, because this e-group will help you more than having an hour session with me even. I'd really always recommend to all my clients and people that reach out to me, please join this group, because I think the group format is so helpful, because you know, it's not just me they're hearing this from and getting validation, but they get validation from, you know, many people. My first group that I had that I taught this, we had 42 people. And, you know, it's 42 people, and almost all of them had eighth house planets. I think only one person didn't out of the whole group. So, and, or 12th house planets, you know, they usually had one or either one or both or just a little bit of both. And, everyone on there really has an interest in learning more about those houses, and usually because they have a planet there and they really want to understand it better. And I welcome, you know, everyone to the group, and I find that it's the best way, you know, to interact with each other. And it's so fun, and students can work at their own pace, and they don't feel pressured. You know, it's very, you know, convenient for them. They can log on whenever they get some time and discuss. And I love the format, and it's worked out really well for me so far.
Well, how long does the e-group last?
Yes, the e-group lasts, it's 4 weeks. And it starts the beginning of August, and it runs till the end of August. And, you know, it goes really fast. And each week, you know, we have it broke down with different subjects that we're going to cover, you know, different materials that I've, you know, outlined for each week. Everything's planned out. Everything's ready to go for the students when they log in, and they have their videos for the week, their assignments for the week, their audios to listen to for the week. And then the discussion is really up to them. You know, some students are very active in the discussion board, and some students tell me, you know, I don't really want to, I'm reading everything, but I may not write anything a lot, but it doesn't mean I'm not active in the group, you know. And so everyone has their style, so no one has to be, you know, pressured to share, but most of the time people do share with us, and we have a great conversation, you know, about the material throughout the course, throughout the whole month.
Well, where can people register for the e-group?
Yes, they can go to you know, edgarcayce.org, and if they go to the education link or education icon and go down to e-groups, and they can do it online. And once they go to that, they'll see the 2011 e-group schedule. And it's August 3rd through August 30th. Explore the mysteries of your 8th and 12th astrological houses.
We'll be right back with more with Carmen Turner Schott. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Carmen Turner Schott.
You can register via email to egroups@edgarcayce.org, or you can call or do the online registration, either way.
You mentioned Pluto. I'm curious, does the recent idea that Pluto is not an official planet change the dynamics of the 8th and 12th houses?
I guess I kind of disagree with that, but I believe that Pluto very much is a planet. Even if it's not an official planet by astronomers, Pluto's energy definitely impacts us in our life and in our natal chart. And I'll tell you why I still believe that. I do what's called a transit chart for people. And, the transit chart basically takes, our birth chart, and then we look at, where, the traditional planets are in the sky right now, including Pluto. And we see where those planets are transiting the different areas of life, which are the houses. And any time Pluto transits someone's fourth house, I always see that person has they move. They always move. There's some type of a physical move.
Well, we're about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
I would just like, for those listening that, don't really understand astrology or may feel that it's too complex to understand, I encourage you, to research it and to visit my website and look at the videos that I have on there and the articles that talk about the basics of astrology, even dating it back to biblical times and in the Bible as well. And I love to help people, feel comfortable studying astrology, because I have a lot of people that contact me that are from a Christian background or from a background where they were taught not to study astrology, but they see that it's accurate and they know that there's something about it that's true. I encourage you to research that and to look up, articles online and to, see for yourself the accuracy of it, because as a social worker, as a helping professional, I believe that astrology is a more powerful tool than Myers-Briggs, than, StrengthFinders, than a lot of these other tools that we use to diagnose and analyze people's personalities. Astrology is way deeper and way more accurate than anything I've ever seen. And it's my great love and my passion, and I just encourage others to get involved and to learn more about it and find out more about it, because you won't be disappointed. It's a great, interesting field, and that's what I, hope everyone finds it in their path if they're meant to.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And now it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose. Kimberly Rose is the host of the radio show Interviews with Kimberly Rose on CBS Sky Radio on Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. She'll also be speaking at the upcoming conference, Be Your Own Psychic. It's the Edgar Cayce Legacy, from October 19th to the 23rd at the ARE in Virginia Beach. To find out more, go to edgarcayce.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. Well, hello.
Hi.
And what's today's thought for the day?
Today's thought for the day is reading 262:11. Infinite love is the love of God, while love divine is that manifested by those in their activities who are guided by love divine. These bring happiness and the experience of joy, not mere pleasure, not gratification of any of the material things. And I love this. I think of Mother Teresa. She said, let Muslims be Muslims. She said, let Hindus be Hindus and Christians be Christians. She came from this beautiful space of love divine, which is an energy that does not separate, does not judge. It is an energy that touches everyone around you by living that in your life. And one of the things that she did was she really, really let that love and that oneness guide her. And she was able to do her work. Yet if she would have really been in a space of, judgment or separation, she would have not been able to just to be present with everyone. And so infinite love is the love of God. So we have that in us. It's when we take that love divine, we take that infinite love and turn it into an energy into our daily lives. What we really do is we touch everything and we're guided into a space of joy. And it's not about, you know, having to see what we get. It's just simply about being immersed in knowing that we're where we need to be. And we're feeling that joy in our lives.
And this talks about these bring happiness and the experiences of joy, not mere pleasure nor gratification of any of the material things. It's talking about moving on from the material things. Perhaps you, at some point, you have to lift off or fly. Maybe around the time of the Wright brothers, people, you know, they could use horse carts, and I guess they were working on the car. They had this new thing, the car that was getting them around faster, and they could find ways to get places, the ships, and some people might have thought, you know, why do we need this slow-moving powered glider that these guys have just invented? And they didn't realize that's the first step to a much faster, more amazing mode of travel, and that you're not just stuck on the ground, you know, going from one point to another at a slower pace. So at some point, I think those material things can keep us moving more slowly. You know, we get some gratification. But then at some point, you have to fly and not just be stuck on the ground.
That is so true.
Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day.
I appreciate that. Thank you for helping me today with that guidance, because that does help.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Carmen Turner Schott for talking to us. You can find out more at her website, astrologyawareness.com. That's astrology-awareness.com. Also, make sure to check out her e-group, Explore the Mysteries of Your 8th and 12th Astrological Houses, from August 3rd to August 30th, by going to edgarcasey.org, clicking on Education, and clicking on e-groups. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.